to this special occasion of storytelling, of wit, warmth, and wisdom. It's absolutely fabulous to see the hall so full. It's been a while since COVID that so many of us have got together, and it's great that on this blustery evening you've made your way here, so thank you so much. And if you're here for the first time, a special warm welcome to you. You are at the International Coordinating Office of the Brahma Kumaris, which is a spiritual organization founded over 80 years ago in India. And it's very much been teaching the philosophy, the practice, the principles of Raj Yoga meditation, which is a form of meditation that enables you to become the most empowered version of yourself, enables you to connect to that deep part within and connect to the one above, and really bring that practice into your everyday life. So this evening is an evening of storytelling, of nourishing the soul, enchanting stories from a man of wisdom, who I'll be introducing you to in just a moment. But before I do, I thought I would share a little story of wisdom of my own, just a short one. There was once a farmer who was experiencing quite a few problems in his life, and he decided to go and seek out a wise man that he'd heard good things about. And he went up to the wise man and he said, "Wise man, I'm having a few problems." And the wise man looked at him. "Tell me," he said. "I'm a farmer and we've not had any rain this year, and it looks like the crops are going to fail, and I'm worried about how I'm going to feed my family." The wise man looked on. "And last year we had so much rain that all the crops were washed away and we weren't able to feed our families. And wise man, I've got a lovely wife, and I do truly love her, but sometimes I find her really annoying, and I just don't know what to do with her. And we've been blessed with children, but often the children don't do what they're told to do, and it drives me mad. And I have a really comfortable bed, but sometimes I toss and turn all night worrying about my problems, but I just don't get any sleep. And sometimes," and the wise man said, "Can I just stop you there? I'm afraid there's nothing I can do to help you." And the farmer looked at him and said, "Why is that?" And he said, "Well, because every time you tell me about one problem, you've hardly finished and you start telling me about the next problem. And in our lifetimes, every human being has 83 problems. And in a moment, not in this day, but maybe the next day or sometime, your family may become ill and they may die, and you may one time have to face your own death, and that will also be a problem to you." And the farmer said, "Well, if you can't help me, then what was the point in me coming to speak to you?" And the wise man said, "Well, maybe I can help you with your 84th problem." And the farmer said, "My 84th problem, what's that?" And the wise man said, "Your 84th problem is that you don't want to have any problems." And the farmer thought about it and saw the error of his ways and went off and lived a very contented life. So I'm going to introduce you in just a moment, but before I do, there's just a few housekeeping things that we need to just tell you about. First of all, the toilets, they're at the back. If you want to use them, there's drinking water out there as well. Also, if you wouldn't mind to just switch off your mobile phones or to put them on flight mode so that we don't get any unexpected interruptions. We're not expecting any fire this evening, so if you hear the alarms, then do please be guided by the ushers, the ones in blue sashes, who will guide you safely out of the building. And also just to let you know that we are going to be filming this evening's program just for our own purposes, to use on our own channels and for future communications. But it will only be from the backs of your heads. But if that is a problem for you, again, do please see the ushers, and they will guide you to seats that you won't be caught up in the film. So tonight, I'm so delighted that we have our very own man of wisdom with us this evening. Brother Bridge Mohan was only 21 years old when he came across the organization and met the founder of the organization, Brahma Bhava. And for the next 16 years, Brahma Bhava very much took Brother Bridge Mohan under his wing and guided him and inspired him in all the ways of spiritual endeavor. And if you have been to events in this house before, very often it will be a sister who is giving the talk or is on the stage conducting the meditation. So it really is a special treat to have a brother, and not just any brother, but the most senior brother, the most senior yogi in our organization. He's been practicing this path for 70 years now, and has become a real fountain of wisdom. He is currently the additional Secretary General of the Brahma Kumaris. And the last time he came to London was in 2004. So it really is a long overdue visit. And we're delighted that he's going to be with you all tonight to share his own stories. So, ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together and welcome Brother Bridge Mohan. So, Bridge Mohan Bhai, it really is so lovely to have you back in London after all these years. Really a warm welcome from all of us here. Isn't it great, everybody, to have him? And I was very impressed when you arrived. You even remembered what you had spoken about when you were here in 2004, which is quite impressive at the age of 90, wouldn't you say?
Normally one remembers everything from 6 years of age. All important things one remembers.
So they stay fresh with you. But, you know, you are in your 90s now, and, you know, most people I know, I don't know about you, most men in their 90s are being nicely taken care of in a residential home, maybe sitting in their favorite chair, looking out of the window all day, possibly swaying gently from side to side. And here's you traveling halfway around the world to come and deliver a whole lecture tour.
Yes.
What is the secret of your youthfulness and your sharpness of intellect after 90 years?
You know, a knife becomes sharper as it is used. So, that is, I used it, so it is quite sharp even now.
Is there a kind of state of mind that goes with that? Do you somehow feel differently as you get older, or do you find that you actually still feel the same as you always did?
As a soul, I still feel I am the same old child that I was. The body has grown older, but the soul is young.
So, thinking young keeps you young. And what about the story I told of the farmer with so many problems? Do you feel now that you have reached the age that you have, that problems don't come to you so much as they used to, or do they just come in a different form?
Over the years, one gets experience, because the same problems come repeatedly in different forms and guises. So, because of that experience, some of the problems are already solved before they reach you, and the new ones also Just as in a study, a student who has fared well in 8th class is most likely to fare well in the 9th class also. So like that, steadiness and continuous experience has helped me.
Do your situations that you challenge become more subtle, would you say, as time goes on?
Naturally. A PhD student will get a different exam paper than a graduation student. Subject may be the same.
And I know that in a traditional Indian society, people's lives go through different phases and stages of being the student, the bachelor, and then the householder. And usually it's only when you get to later life that you devote yourself to spiritual practice and maybe take up some new teachings. And yet for you, it has been your life since the age of 21. How has that been for you, being on a disciplined path like this for so many years?
You see, that is what was laid down by our sages and seers. They divided life into different parts. But that was only illustrative. And these days when we are not sure about our lifespan, anything can happen to anyone. So those things don't work. So now everyone wants to experience everything right now. A young person will want to experience everything that he would throughout his life. He is not sure. So he may live that long or not. So those prescriptions do not apply today and differs from person to person. Many young people are intellectually, spiritually become aged and old, and others don't. It depends.
Depends on the individual.
Yes.
For many of us, finding nourishment in today's world has become a problem, another problem, because there just doesn't seem to be any depth to anything. It can look superficially quite attractive from the outside, but when you scratch the surface, it's actually quite shallow and can feel quite empty. What is your assessment of where we're at in the world currently in terms of our ability to find real nourishment?
Well, artificial nourishment and supplements are needed only for an unhealthy person who is not getting normal nourishment. If a person is having normal nourishment, these supplements are not required.
But where do you think in the world today people can find normal nourishment?
Well, nature is so designed that every being, living being, even insentient beings, they have their own natural process of nourishment. They do not require any artificial nourishment. You see, all the birds and animals, even the plants, they don't require. When they come in contact with humans, so they will be different now. If you have a pet dog, he will get diabetes and everything because he is not living the normal life of a dog. Similarly, our life has become abnormal, and now abnormal is normal today. So therefore, all people require some sort of nourishment or the other.
And, you know, we can very often think that the advancements that we have made, say with health and medicine, the operations that we can form, or because of the technology that is so sophisticated, and now with the AI that is coming online, it can seem as if there is a lot of attraction and nourishment coming from all of these things, and yet the inner experience can very often leave you feeling empty.
You know, when one is starved, one looks for nourishment in anything and everything. Actually, how a child grows, a small child, how much outside nourishment it requires and gets. Only little bit of diluted milk, but it is fondled, it is made to jump and laugh, so it grows. And when we are grown to our capacity, then we don't grow even a centimeter more. But we have the illusion that if I eat more, if I do this, I have this thing, nicely labeled things are available in large numbers in the world. And sometimes they add the word natural also to attract you. So actually, those things are not required. And you will find anyone who looks light, smart, active, physically and mentally, that will be the person who is using the least of these things.
So sometimes less is actually more.
Mm. Yes.
What would you say, looking back over your years, has been your own source of nourishment?
First of all, let us decide what type of nourishment we are talking.
Mm.
Is it physical nourishment, spiritual nourishment, nourishment of the mind? So we will proceed on those lines.
So I guess soul nourishment really would be
soul's
the question. Yeah, nourishment for the soul.
The nourishment of souls in single word is happiness. The soul gets nourished and the effect of that is the body also gets nourished due to happiness. So all people say health, wealth, happiness. The end is happiness. So if we remember that I have to nourish my soul, I have to be always happy.
Mm.
It's my natural state.
Mm.
As soon as I become unhappy or deviate from natural state, I will be undernourished.
Mm. Tell me about that experience when you first met the founder, Brahma Baba. And I think you were invited to come and just put your head in his lap and be sort of welcomed and accepted. And you had an experience of the bodiless state. What do you mean by that? And what did that feel like?
It is natural that in this world you do not come in contact with people accidentally or suddenly. There is some cause or purpose behind it. So each one, as they say, birds of the same feather flock together. So each one naturally deviates and diverts towards what is the likeness or a commonness between the two. It is natural. So, it so happened that I was born to parents who came in contact with Brahma Kumaris. And as their child son, they took me there and I went there naturally. And this is how it started.
Because I think at the time you were a student and not necessarily showing any signs of becoming a great yogi in your future life. I think there's a story of you going to a temple and getting confused between making a financial donation and taking a financial donation. So you weren't taking, you know, things that seriously. But there was obviously a seed in you that Brahma Baba saw and nurtured. How long did it take before you began to see yourself in that same way?
Well, a jeweler knows the value of different gems. So it is Brahma Baba and jeweler cuts those into diamonds and all that. Now, coal is also carbon and diamond is also carbon. But if you burn coal, you will have lot of ashes. And if you burn diamond, you will have no ashes. That is the purest form of carbon. So Brahma Baba, the founder, was a jeweler, otherwise also in the worldly sense. So he had lot of knowledge about gems and stones. So whosoever came to him, he could see that how Brahma Baba could carve that being into some precious stone. So like that, so it was for him. And then he was also guided by Shiv Baba, who is a dealer only in human gems, souls, make them shining jewels. So like that the process naturally went on. I didn't know anything, I didn't do anything. But naturally it happened. In India they say, how Shivlinga is made. Shivlinga is a rounded stone. So they say the stone, when it passes through the river and then it gets rounded off, all the edges are gone and then it naturally becomes rounded off to the shape of Shivlinga.
Mm.
So they pick it up for worship.
Mm.
Same is the thing, our edges are rounded off, smoothened, and then the inner being can be seen by, felt by ourselves and also seen by others.
Mm. So you're mentioning there Shiv Baba, which is a name for the divine, for God. How would you describe your understanding of the nature of the divine at that time, and how did it change over the following years?
Well, one thing is understanding. The real thing is experience. Naturally, you have to have elementary understanding of your destination and the way to that. But mere understanding is intellectual. If I am given understanding how a cake tastes and smells, I can have intellectual understanding. But if I eat the cake, then I will really experience. So after understanding about the Supreme, about myself, and how, what makes the connection, what is the subtlest communicator between the two, I started practicing. So one day, I really felt the experience, and that encouraged me that I can have it oftentimes. In fact, I went to Baba and told that I don't have that experience all the time. I did have it. So Baba said me the same thing. You had it sometime, at least said. Then you can have it more times also. Then I said, yes, I can have it. Then there was another person that had more experience. Said, you have, said, I have. Often times. So Baba says anybody can have it depending upon the process that we use.
And what was that experience? Can you put it into words?
It was an experience of like a bird out of the cage. Right from the birth, we feel we are the body. We feel my eyes are seeing, ears are listening, hearing, mouth is speaking. So it is natural and we feel like that. Just there is a ceiling fan, it is giving air. So anybody will say air is coming from the ceiling fan. Doesn't know the mechanics behind it, that there has to be electricity, there has to be current and all that. So when I was told that this is only your medium. Eyes are not seeing. You are looking through the eyes. Eyes may be there. If you are gone, the eyes won't see. Eyes can even be donated to another person. So I felt, yes, this is all only a medium. So I used to consider myself as the medium only, because that was apparent. So when I started experiencing that, my being, then the being has those experiences, spiritual experiences. Body cannot have spiritual experiences.
So it's you, the soul, inhabiting the physical body that is having all those experiences. And I know that you've become quite tuned to a way of being which is not about striving or reaching out, but of allowing and becoming and being in the moment, and by creating that space, allowing the divine spark to spark in you. How have you arrived at that place, and how does that work for you in your practical life?
So we learn that we have a natural state of being, and if we live in that natural state, everything is natural for us. When I disturb that natural state, then everything gets disturbed, percentage-wise. So, Baba gave us the example of the magnet and the needles. No, magnet has the pull, but the condition is the needle should be rust-proof, rustless. If the needle is rusted, however powerful the magnet will be, maybe, it cannot attract the needle. So we learned that I have to work on myself to see that my needle is rid of all the rust. So when we pay attention to that process and you get experience, yes, rust has gone and now I'm pulled. So that encourages you, makes you happy to have that experience again, and why not to become fully rustless, rust-proof.
So the more you pay attention to just becoming a clear instrument, the more God or the divine can work through you. But you do have an enormous amount of trust and faith that something will happen. I'm thinking in particular of the story when you were sent out to try and get hold of some government cement for a building that was being constructed. Tell us that story of what happened there, because you didn't know how you were going to get the cement.
Please repeat it slowly.
When you were constructing a building, you were asked if you could find some cement for the construction of the building.
I see. Huh.
And you set out with faith that it would happen.
Well, faith, blind faith does not work. Mm. If there is some reasoning and logic behind the faith, that is confirmed faith, that gives you conviction. And if you have got firm faith in something which has higher power, then you can get help also from that source. But the faith should be firm and not half-baked. Halfway through, you may say, no, 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 it will not happen and like that. It should be firm. So therefore, that is the situation. Now, the Supreme Being is Supreme Being because Supreme Being knows about the three dimensions of time of everyone, the total creation, because Supreme Being is the Creator. So Supreme Being knows my future. I do not know about my future. Mm. It may be bright or it may be otherwise, but I do not know nothing about my future. But Supreme Being knows. So if you are doing your own work, if I was to construct my own building, then Supreme Being would come and guide me, because I have to use my own intellect, own resources, my own karmic account will play. But that was a big construction of the first big auditorium, Universal Peace Hall of the Brahma Kumaris. The first one ever constructed. Earlier there was the headquarters and there were small halls, but not a auditorium for public attending. So for that they required lot of cement, 120 tons of cement. And in India cement was rationed. There was quota system. A very small quantity was distributed. So I was in Delhi, capital of India. So I was assigned the job to get 120 tons of cement for that hall. So I narrated that story because it actually happened. So I found out the address of the cement controller, went to his office. That person was not known to me, but about my age. So yeah, he asked me, yes, what can I do for you? So instead of answering that I require cement, I got an intuition to ask him, to which city you belong? So he said the same city as mine. And that could be accidental, incidental. But then again I got the touching to ask him, in which school you studied? And he said the same school. So therefore, it was interesting. Then we shared the names of the teachers of those days. And 2 minutes we became very intimate. We forgot who is he, who am I. We were in our childhood. And he was not my classmate. He was 1 year ahead of me, one class. Finally asked me, what is the requirement? I told him, so there were so many hurdles, but because of that, he gave us 120 tons of cement, and not only that, kept on giving cement to the Brahma Kumari till it was decontrolled. So now I only told that who knew all this about me and him? Only Almighty.
So what do we draw from that we in our lives need to stop feeling like we have to control things and make things happen, but rather develop a faith, an intuition, a trust that guidance will be there at the right time?
See, it is natural. If you are loyal to those whom you are related, so it will naturally flow. A loyal person in the world also will give his life for the purpose, you know. And that person will have no say of his own, not using his own intellect, like an agent, like a sort of connection. So from the principle to whatever is happening, it is all flowing. I am not interfering. As soon as I do that, I will get into limitation of my capacity.
So how does that affect your sense of achievement and of becoming somebody and something? How do you keep ego out of the way when achievement does come along?
If a child is adopted by a king, poor child is always adopted by rich. The child doesn't have to bother and worry about the future. It is enough that the child gets adopted and he really gets adopted and doesn't think of his past connections. So that is it. I have never had any ambition in that sense, because I had been adopted by the best being. So you have ambition when you have to work on your own, you have to be self-made person, then you have to have set small goals and all that. Here it is nothing. So I have become Baba's instrument, and naturally Baba will take care of me depending upon my capacity. and may enhance my capacity also.
So you don't ever feel like it's you that is doing anything?
Yes. In fact, you know, I had gone to an astrologer. In India, people go to astrologer for their horoscope. And he told me, your lifespan is 49 years in those days. So now that has been proven wrong. So because maybe at that time it would have been that. But by changing my whole thinking, all that, it has helped me.
That's interesting, because you were 49 when you took the step of formally surrendering. That's a word that we use in the organization where you become a full-time practitioner. You were 49 when that happened. I wonder if that's what the astrologer picked up on.
Again, you have spoken very fast.
How old were you when you surrendered, when you became a full-time brother within the organization? You were 49.
I think 42 years of it.
Or was it 42? I was wondering if the astrologer could see that you were going to, in a way, end one life and begin another life. But tell me the story of how you did take that decision to leave your career, because you were working as a chartered accountant for 17 years in a job that you had been guided by Brahma Baba to do in the first place, and then you were inspired to stop working and become full-time. How did that happen?
These words like surrender and giving up and all those, they did not happen to me.
Okay.
It was a natural shifting.
Right.
And it was very easy shifting, because all the time I was giving up something for something better.
Yeah.
So I never felt any feeling of surrender, this and that. Even people resign from a job when they get a higher job. So it is like that. It is naturally happening. So the question of surrender and sacrifice or something arises only when you are really giving up something. So here it is not that. Here the when you get spiritual fortune, it takes care of your everything. Your health, wealth, happiness, and not for this particular lifespan, but forever. So you cannot have calculations or do these things. So it is easily done.
Hmm.
Why people are afraid of death? Why people today are afraid of death? Death is sure to happen. As sure as death, they say. But it is going to happen. So instead of being prepared for that, they want to avoid the word death.
Mm.
And it is good that it happens suddenly.
Mm.
Because if otherwise you will be dying before death if you know the time of death. So, but still, why people are afraid of death? What actually is behind that? What do you say?
I would say fear, maybe fear of the unknown.
Fear of losing.
Yeah.
Fear of losing.
Yeah.
Because all that we consciously think is me and mine. On death, that is gone. So there is fear. And if you are assured by an insurance company or so, that you will lose nothing. We will give you better returns than what you have got. Then what?
That's a good deal.
Good thing. So that is the thing. Actually, the seed of any tree or any seed contains everything of the whole growth. Okay? But in nutshell, it is insignificant. Nobody will give importance to the poor seed because it has no color, no smell, no taste, nothing. But the seed becomes instrumental for growing the whole big tree. The tree has to dry out because anything that is born has to be end. And when the tree dies out, do you think the tree is dead? Here in England we say, the king is dead, long live the king. The same thing applies. The tree is dead, but long live the tree. Similarly, this body is dead, but long live so many bodies. The soul is alive, the seed is alive. So, over the years, first you understand about my being, then you really slowly start feeling that you are that being. Because for a long time, the whole world, all people are telling me you are this body. They call me by the body, they give me my certificates by the body and everything.
Yeah.
But it is only possessions. And that is why when I leave my possessions, I think it's, everything is gone for me. So I have the fear of that. Butter is there in the buttermilk, but it is mixed. You don't see it. Once you churn and the butter comes up and floats, although it is looks thick, but it is lighter than water. Okay? If you try to mix even a bit of that butter back into the buttermilk, can you do that?
No.
Same thing.
So if that is the case, why do we spend so much of our energy and time during our life trying to accumulate all of these things which we think are going to nourish us and make us happy?
This is what we are telling people. We have forgotten our potential as a being. And just as a person loses memory that he is an emperor and thinks he is a beggar, so with a begging bowl we are going here and there. The only thing is to put back original memory. And that memory only he has. Fortunately, anyone who listens or who experiences, he will never then leave. All people say the Brahma Kumaris are the only people who are so devoted to their belief or to their lifestyle, that is the top priority for them than anything else. We have never seen any other faith, religion, cult or creed having so. The reason is this.
And where has that memory of the original self come from?
It is stored within ourselves. Only it has a wrapping of other superfluous things. It has to be unwrapped only. So it has not to come from anywhere else. It is there within us.
So we're not becoming anything other than what we already are.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, these things like what to say of possessions, even the body that we get first of all. People get different bodies, different parents, different situation. On what basis? They don't make any effort to be born wherever they are born, and they are born in different condition. So there must be some system for that. And if we understand that system, that in paradise, nobody has to work or go for a job or do some business or something like that. Naturally, nature provides so much. Common sense also says, nature has not put price tag on anything. Has nature put price tag on air, on water, or land, nothing, on fruits, milk, nothing. Who has put the price tag? We. And we are making it more expensive. So we have to work for buying that. That is the whole thing.
So all of these things are God-given in a way.
Yes, nature-given. Let us people
nature-given.
May not understand God-given.
Nature-given.
Nature-given.
You mentioned paradise there, and I know that there is a strong feeling of moving through a time of change at this present time that will give way to a future world which will be much more how you're describing. What role does this understanding of paradise play in your life in a practical way?
Paradise lost, paradise regained. Mm. So we all belong to the paradise because everything is new in the beginning. So we came from heaven, to heaven, and we have made hell out of it. So that's a simple thing. And you can create the heaven even within this hell, like the Brahma Kumaris have done. So simple. They don't run after things which other people run after. Things run after them. You have just turned your back.
Can you say a bit more about turning your back?
You see, if you chase your shadow, you will never catch it. You turn your back, shadow will chase you. Otherwise, there is a staircase. It depends upon whether you are climbing up or climbing down. So the next step you are climbing down will be down only.
Yeah.
You can't have anything else. And if you are climbing up, the next step will be up only. So simple. The moment one starts thinking, I am chasing something, then one becomes a beggar. That is why they talk of self-respect, self-esteem. But they think that necessities of life, these things are most essential. And after that only I will think of my self-respect. It is not so. Self-respect will bring all those things. Just as happiness brings health and wealth. There is a saying that there can be no better diet than happiness. Even doctors will tell you, happiness changes all the hormones, all the systems in your body. When you are happy, actually you don't care for anything. I am very happy, I am walking down the street, somebody hits me, say sorry, I say, it's okay. And supposing I am very sad, I have lost my job or lost something, the same person strikes and says sorry, then I will not say no. I will say it is daylight, don't you see such a big body? Why you have struck me? It's happiness, isn't it? So that is the thing. Happiness is the greatest diet. Happiness is the greatest prayer, wealth also. If you have happiness, you don't need anything else. So it is happiness to health and wealth, not other way around. So this is the thing.
If you have happiness, you'll have health
everything.
And as much as you need.
A child,
You
see a school bus going, children don't know you, you are in your car, they will start waving to you, laughing, jumping, connecting yourself with them, and like toys they will be playing because they are innocent. And if they grow up, then if you just even look at the other person, they will say, why you are staring at me? What's wrong with you? This is the thing.
So if you're not feeling that happiness in your life, what steps can you take to welcome happiness back in?
The simple formula is whatever you want, start giving to others. I may have no happiness. If I decide to make others happy, I will get that happiness. The approach is to give. As soon as you have the get approach, getting happiness, it won't work. Because everything in the universe is giving. The one who is contented having more will always give. And in this universe things are so set that you have to give only. The chair we are sitting on is giving us comfort. It is not meant for itself. There may be a godown full of chairs, no utility. But if someone sits, this one is magnifying our voice. Not its own voice, but our voice. So the formula you can try a whole world. Everything gives. And that is the basic thing for which it exists. Trees give fruit, they don't eat the fruit. Rivers give water, they don't drink the water. Sun gives light and heat, if not for itself. So this is the formula.
So we have it upside down because we're yes. more interested in what we can take.
Yes.
And what's in it for us. Yeah.
In India, our ancestors are called devatas. Mm. Devata means the one who gives. Mm. So they knew this. They were in conformity with the universal rule. So they were always happy. They never had any imperfection. And with the process of time, as we became getters, this is our state. And you had asked about chartered accountancy. In chartered accountancy, the first principle is, what you get is gain, what you give is loss. And in the Brahma Kumari, it is the reverse. So therefore, I am a chartered accountant still. I keep the accounts of Brahma Kumari.
Yes.
But those are for this world only.
And it's the other way around because giving is receiving. Yeah, yeah.
The Brahma Kumaris don't have
little reminder to come back into meditation there. Hmm. It is an extraordinary feature of the Brahma Kumaris that since the beginning this principle of giving has been so central, giving with no expectation of receiving. And all the teachings, all the courses are all given free of charge. And in a way that is a principle for the new era.
This
that
is
money isn't...
All this is secondary.
Secondary.
The first is what the being receives and gives. The being. Mm. Because rest of it is physical things are built on that, material things are built on that. A being has to have the heart of a king before he acquires things of a king. If the being has the feeling he is a beggar, he will only build a cottage, beggar's cottage. Now, the being, what does it need actually? Happiness, love, peace, name anything. Those are all non-physical, non-material. Happiness is not something physical, tangible. So when the being itself is non-physical, non-material, and all the things it requires are non-physical and non-material, it is very, very insignificant, all these material things. You require very little, as I said, a child requires very little of diluted milk and it grows. A grown-up may have all the bakery products with him but cannot grow. So these are superfluous things. In fact, if you acquire, they become a burden. Just in the body, if you put more sugar, it becomes a burden. So you have to spend energy to get rid of it. Then why acquire? When everything is in proportion, even our body also, we require little magnesium, very little. But it has to be there. So, if I think that I have more magnesium, I will become healthier. So I'm on the wrong side. So natural, everything will be eliminated and you will have to spend time and energy on eliminating. Why acquire in the first instance?
Is everyone convinced of this, that the desire to acquire is actually going to take you further from your real happiness? Show of hands? Yeah, that's at least half the hall. We need to hear your message more, because
other half will also raise their hands when they understand it later on.
Okay, we've got to work a little harder for the other half. It does make you stop and think that we spend our lives chasing these things. But as you say, they're material things, and for the material body, but they're never going to truly nourish us, because the nourishment that we seek is a soul nourishment, which is to do with the soul and things that are non-physical. And I'm just really realizing that in this moment, that the things that we really desire are happiness, peace, contentment.
We are starving our souls,
yeah,
for the sake of our possessions and belongings.
Yeah.
As a result, there look plenty, but there is scarcity around, with plenty around. So this is the thing. So all the souls are starving. Mm. That's why you will find they will seek a little bit of joy here, in some visual joy, some joy in eating, but that is only momentary. Mm. Because from one joy to another, they have to shift, and in between they have to work hard for their so-called existence and living and all that. The birds never get a job. No animal requires to have a business. So where we humans have placed ourselves? We are the superior most of God's creation.
Yeah. Tell me about the possessions that you have.
The possessions?
What do you own? I mean, clearly you're wearing a set of clothes now,
yes,
and your hat, which is so much a part of who you are. Beyond that, what else do you have?
Yes. I will tell you four basic principles which will give you answer to this. Because if I give you answer to this, there will be another question. So basic principles are, in this world, nothing exists for itself, which I have already explained. So it is wrong to think that everything exists for me,
yeah,
or even I exist for myself.
Right.
Clear? Or any question or doubt in this?
No, clear.
In this world, nothing exists for itself. Okay? Number two, you have the right only to use things, not to own things. I may be thinking I am owner of a big mansion or of these clothes or whatever. A person builds a big mansion, lets it out to a tenant. The tenant is using that mansion for all purposes. Tenant pays rent for 1 month and then drags the owner to the court for years. So the owner may be cursing himself why he built it and why he let it to him. So who is taking benefit of that mansion? The tenant. Similarly, you may have millions in your bank, you have whatever, but what you are using is yours, rest is only theory. Okay? Third, mere acquisition of possessions does not lead to happiness. That you can see. Some poor people, their children are very happy, they are unkempt, they are not bathed and clothed, and there are rich people, very rich, but so serious that, you know, once I was humming a tune going to France, to Spain from London, and one person asked me, why you are humming? So I was surprised that it is a sin to do that also. So this is the situation. So this is the thing. So they think to be serious is something very normal these days. So you see people with possessions, not necessarily in the ratio of possession they will be happier. Rather, they will have different type of sorrows and sufferings and worries. And the poor ones will have different types.
Mm.
Both are in the same boat, but the possessions don't bring you happiness. Then, the same thing, anything, same thing can cause you sorrow or happiness. Your son can bring repute to you, can also be a cause of defame to you, your jewelry, anything in this world. So, if we go for objects, we do not know what I am possessing or trying to acquire will become my enemy or my friend. It depends. Then after all, what is the thing that brings happiness, fortune? It is your good actions. Good actions devoid of weaknesses and vices and self-interest. So this is the philosophy. You fit into it, anyone will, it is a universal philosophy. Nothing to do with any faith, religion or anything.
Good actions without any selfish motivation.
Without any weakness.
Weakness.
And weakness is, we know, are five.
And what about your own attitude? Because I have heard...
Now you asked me about my...
Oh yes, you didn't finish.
So, when you become a trustee,
mm-hmm.
that you have been given something, more or less, whatever, but even that doesn't belong to you. So I have come to this center. I have got a room. You ask me, such nice room. But I know I am only a guest here. So this is also, even the body, I am a guest. So this is also a part of the guest acquisition only. So you become trustee. As soon as you start owning, you will have the sorrow or happiness. In a hotel room, if somebody is digging a nail in the adjoining room, you will not be bothered. But if it is your own house, you have let out to your tenant, and he is putting a nail, you will feel it is putting here, not in the wall. That is the thing.
So that was quite a long-winded way of saying you actually don't have the awareness of having anything, and yet you have full happiness.
The whole world. You see, I think that this house and this dress and this car belongs to me. How about the rest of the world? All the trees, all the streets, all the roads, all the rainfall, all the stars. The government starts saying, this is our land, you have to pay tax. They do that. But all the oceans, everything is common to all. If you start relishing the weathers, many people go to places to see rainfall, to see snowfall, to see hot temperature. But when you get in your home, you start feeling that, no, it has started raining. So if you value that, then you will see it is provided on your doorstep, everything. But we don't value because it is free. And when it is priced, we spend time, we say yes. A tourist will go to a place and start taking snaps of everything, as if you know, because he has come all the way, spent the money. And he may not see those pictures again throughout his life. This is the thing.
very much food for thought that we tend to make a commodity out of just about anything and everything and use it for profit, but then end up with nothing at the end of it. It's a huge lesson for humanity to learn at this time.
They say count your blessings.
Yeah.
We would never count our blessings because those are countless. We start counting what we do not have. And only that is in our memory because we are dealing with that only. So that is the thing.
We're going to have some questions in a moment, so if you have got any questions you would like to ask Brother Brij Mohan, do raise your hand and there are some microphones that will come and find you, hopefully. Those of you who didn't put your hands up earlier, anyone ready to change their mind and accept this wisdom of not owning anything and in that becoming happy? Few more.
No raising of hands is, you know, because we are all grown up, so we don't feel like a classroom students. We look around, if others are raising, we raise, and then we immediately bring it down also. We have raised or not raised, or we start shaking it. So it doesn't matter.
Raise it in your mind.
Mind.
Yeah. Great. Do we have a question over here? Lovely. Thank you. Do please stand up. And just say your name as well. We just need some sound. There we go.
Yeah, now?
Yeah.
Maria from Spain. Yes, I have a question. Normally now we have a lot of sorrow in the families, job, lots of problems, so much challenges, so many challenges. So, which are the secrets for maintaining our happiness in the middle of such an environment?
Within the family specifically?
Either the families or the friends or jobs or whatever. If so.
The list goes on. The point is that people set out thinking that these things are going to give them happiness. A new relationship works for a while, then it doesn't. A new car, nice for a while, it then gets rust. A new job, you then get overwhelmed with stress. When you're in this cycle of feeling unhappiness, it's very hard to break out of that.
Well, when there are two people, both are under heavy debt, and any type of relationships or connection they form, what will happen? They will become happy or they will become more sad because they are thinking of their debt. They are talking of their debt, they are feeling their debt. In other words, multiplying means growing, isn't it?
Mm.
We say, give happiness, it will multiply. Okay? But if you multiply 1 over 2 by 1 over 2, what is the result?
1.
Huh?
An increase.
1/4.
Okay, yeah.
You see?
Okay.
So if the two people like that meet, this is the result which is going to come.
Yeah.
Now how to get rid of out of this situation?
Yeah.
So easy. It is so easy that, you know, anyone can in such situation get rid of it. In fact, everything that is right is easy and everything that wrong is difficult. That is the fundamental rule. Going to your home is easy. Going to a new address is difficult. Howsoever, you may get Google guidance. Okay? See, film actor, A film actor plays the role of a doctor. Better than the doctor, so people pay to see him, you see. Or the role of a patient will cry better than the normal patient, you pay to see him. Any role, you make him a porter, a king, anything. But film actor basically has one understanding, that he is not this. He is playing the role. He has a different identity, he has a different house, he has a different family, totally different. Similarly, we may come in connection with anyone, doesn't matter. But if we are acting as an actor and retain our own, film actor may be crying, but in his personal life he may be very happy and feeling himself lucky. So that cry is only as an acting only, isn't it?
Yeah.
So same thing, if you are got to be a happy person, you be in the worst situation. You won't lose your happiness because basically you are a happy person. Even inanimate things, anything that has its own natural nature, it will play its natural nature under all conditions. A rose flower will not stop giving fragrance if it is on a heap of rubbish or by the side of a drain. That is the thing. So easy.
So
don't ask them if it is difficult.
So in a nutshell, don't identify with the role that you're playing.
Yes.
Stand back from it.
These days we are assessed by others, yeah, and we also identify ourselves with the role.
Yeah.
After all, a new entrant to a job will be only a lower cadre, he will be a clerk only, he cannot be the supervisor.
Mm.
So when a person joins as a clerk, he may be very intelligent. A day will come when he will become much better than the supervisor, but we treat him, you are my junior. So that is the thing.
Mm.
So if I appreciate, I was also once a clerk. Mother-in-law should know, I was also once daughter-in-law. He will behave well.
Definitely getting that point. Don't quite see how it relates to 1/2 × 1/2 becoming 1/4, but I'm not going to go there because I will get completely lost. I hope that answers your question. Was there one last question? Yeah?
Yeah. I've been asked to stand up, so I'm still up.
Thank you.
Welcome. Brother Mohan, you have chosen a life with good people, very fortunate for you. You see all the time those people who are attached to mobile phones, computers, houses, cars, actually causing their own grief. Put your mouth over the exhaust of a petrol car, see how long you last. Or put the phone to your head and see how much damage you do in the long term. The manufacturers tell you not to do that, but we don't read the small print. What advice would you give for making the world that little bit better?
So that's a big question to end with. What I'm hearing is that sometimes we forget that something good is good, but something not so good can also be good, depending on how we see it, how we interpret it, and how we use it. How do we make something not so good become something good?
Yes. In India, there was a region, the rain did not fall for the whole year. So all the fodder became dry. And the cattle were served with rye fodder, they won't eat it. So they put green goggles on the cattle and they ate that fodder. So if we wear the goggle of good, so we will see good in everything. And we can make good, because negative to positive, we have made positive negative.
Yes.
So we have the capacity to make negative to positive. Yes. The whole world is doing that, science is doing that, yes, turning waste into wealth. Yes. So we can also do that. Yes. We should have the aim. Yes. That's all.
I feel like we've had an evening in which everything we thought we knew has been turned on its head, and we're having to learn to see things from a completely different perspective. So much food for thought, Brother Brij Mohan. We could carry on all evening, but I'm afraid we have to leave it there. But please put your hands together and thank Brother Brij Mohan. Thank you.
Half is lost when you clap. Just if you put the lid of the pressure cooker out, then all the gas goes. Because, you know, you have paid the price of that and enjoyed that scenario. So better preserve it and take it with you.
Well, we will certainly be taking a lot with us this evening. We're going to just pause for a moment and just have a chance to digest. Yes, please. Yeah. Digest some of the pearls of wisdom that you've been sharing with us. And I'd like to invite Sister Rachel to come and just share some of her thoughts whilst we just take a few moments of meditation. Thank you.
So please sit comfortably, and if you're feeling a bit stiff after sitting for a while, it's okay to relax yourself a bit, but stay alert so that you can concentrate on what's being shared and hopefully hear something that really touches your heart. And behind me is a picture of light. And the way we meditate here in the Brahmakumaris is that we keep our eyes open. And I recommend that you just rest your eyes on that point of light behind you. Or if you like, you can also rest them on the eyes of Brother Brij Mohan, and it's soul looking at soul. So whichever is most comfortable for you. And I'll just speak out a few words. So first of all, it's good to relax. Be completely relaxed and bring your body and experience your body, feeling still, feeling comfortable, quiet. So it's not demanding your attention at all. And instead you can focus on that light that is who you really are. You can't see it, but you can picture it in your mind's eye. A very powerful point of light in the middle of your forehead, in the middle of everyone's forehead. And this light, this spark of life energy, this consciousness, is who we all really are. And our natural state of being is to be in the awareness of the soul, the spirit within. And what does it mean to be a soul? It doesn't mean that my body disappears, but it disappears from my consciousness for a little while. It doesn't take my attention. And instead, I focus on all the riches inside myself. The things that I'm actually looking for outside, but they're within me all the time. So I remember, because meditation is all about remembering. I remember the peace that is naturally mine. I remember the happiness and joy that is who I really am. I remember the love and generosity and compassion that come naturally to me because I am a giver. And I remember the truth and understanding and clarity that is there always when I give myself time to listen to the truth within myself. And when I'm in that state of truth, that understanding of truth, then I experience the greater truth. I experience the love and the power and the company of the Supreme Being, the Supreme Soul, in whose eyes and in whose love I become that most empowered form of myself. I come back to my natural state of being. Om Shanti. I, the soul, am a being of peace.
Thank you, Rachel, for that beautiful meditation. And thank you, Brother Brijmohan, for a wonderful evening. We're so glad that you lived beyond 49. And may you have many, many more years and at least reach the age of 104 that Daddy Janki has done. Thank you, Philippa, for facilitating this evening so beautifully. And thank you for those questions. I know there were a few, but we could go on all evening, but unfortunately today, this evening has to come to an end. Thank you for everybody being in the background, making this evening happen. But thank you to you all for being here in person and filling this entire hall.